Oh, hello, hello, everybody. I'm just hitting record on my other device. Okay, good to go now. Welcome to this week's Colin Buddhas and Butterflies. We're working is still within the fawn context or people pleasing. And today we're working with transforming sadness and joy, or overexcitement, I should say, into their natural healthy roles. So as we work within that territory, I'm going to invite you to find a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can settle in for today's session and make any adjustments, whether you're sitting, laying down, getting even just 2% more comfy cozy. I'm going to do the same. Just before I was hitting record, sometimes you guys miss out on the cheesiness for those of you not joining live. I was joking with a Count Dracula voice, and someone in the chat feature was mentioning that Dracula was just from the other side of the mountains when they were born. And I feel that Eastern European love. I am Romanian, and Dracula is thought to be related to the Transylvania region, which Romania is sort of, well, there's some division over what parts were with who and all of that. But for the most part, I like to think of Transylvania as related to Romania, and same with Dracula. So love that we're continuing that theme. Okay, y'all, just in case you were ever wondering what the heck we talk about prior to hitting record, now you know. So as you get comfy and cozy and settle in, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. Ooh, thank you for letting me know that the recording wasn't working. Okay, I'm gonna hit record one more time. And for those of you that might not have be on the audio recording, for those of you watching the video recording, knowing that we're just settling in for today's session, working with transforming sadness and overexcitement into their natural healthy roles in the people-pleasing context. So as we orient towards harmony, breathing, every inhale, an opportunity to receive and drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, to let yourself land into just a little deeper, I invite you to savor it, much like you might a really delicious meal, or a cool beverage on a warm day, or a hot beverage on a cool day. And letting yourself drink in that comfort. And as you receive that all, I'm going to invite you to now purposely scan either outwardly or inwardly for a little more comfort, looking for anything in particular that's pleasant, to the very least neutral to be with. And whether you're looking outward or inward, looking in all directions, three dimensions, letting your gaze land with fresh eyes on that particular thing that brings you joy. That's pleasant or easeful to be with. And then taking time to notice what it is you like about it the most in this moment. And as you check that out and you notice what it is you like the most about it in this moment, savoring that comfort and receiving it, drinking it in, and notice what happens inside of you as you do so. And if any part of that, of what's happening inside of you, is also pleasant or easeful or simply neutral, then I'm going to invite you to also savor that too, and letting yourself receive both. Receiving how your body's responding, as well as the particular item that you've landed on, outwardly or inwardly. And as you do so, I'll offer my thanks. Thank you for being here and calling this medicine in. Thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection amongst us all. It always blows my mind to think of all the various factors that had to come before for these types of moments to land together in this sweet, synchronous kind of a way. So thank you to your families, your lineages, to your villages of support. Thank you to the very existence of you from all of those that have come before. And the deepest of thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded the very lands that have held the potential to nourish all of those that have come before, that have made your existence possible, and that will nourish all of those to come. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. At any point in time when it feels right, you are welcome to call in that resource if you want to stay with it throughout the day. And by resource, I mean that pleasant or neutral thing. If you want to stay with it through the day, through the hour, or simply from moment to moment on an occasional basis, having it be present for you, front row and center, allowing for its energy to be touched in on. And if it doesn't quite work, if you ever find it's like, yeah, it's not as juicy as I thought it might be, you can always rinse and repeat that same process, letting again the gaze look outwardly or inwardly and land on anything in particular that feels good to be with. And you can refresh that as much or as little as you feel called to. For today, starting off with brain drain, as we affectionately refer to in body talk, which is lymphatic drainage through the nervous system and the three brains, heart brain, gut brain, head brain. And as we work with draining the lymph through here, we're also going to drain it through the kidneys and the liver, which are both yin, both feminine, and both major organs of detoxification, and also probably where the bulk of our chi of our life that makes our animation possible to be here. Now we're simply running a body chemistry on any bits, particularly in the liver or the kidney, that are depleting that life force. Particularly looking at microbes in the form of things like candida, along with a general fungal infection. And there's one more. Parasites, microparasites specifically, which are the little guys that can enter through any pore of the skin, move, migrate to any part of the body, colonize, and disrupt its functionality. Okay, and then that's linking into any particular pieces that the parasites have played in forming your emotional response of sadness. Let me backtrack just a little bit. Our microbial balance, including our bacteria load, our viral load, our fungal load, and also our parasitic load, actually in part form our persona. And in part, I always think of parasites in particular having a more influential role on any particular changes as it relates to mental health. However, all of them can do that. All of them can do that. And we're particularly focusing on the parasitic nature. And it's a metaphor as well for all the times in which you thought you needed to allow people to act like parasites in your life in order to get your needs met. In other words, you thought you had to fawn or people please. in order for that energy to show up in a way that would would potentially meet your needs. Excuse me. Chugs the water. Okay. So with that, Oh, cool tie-in. Okay, it's linking into when you were in the womb space. And I'm gonna walk a fine line here. I often think of pregnancies as a form of a parasitic relationship because babies will get their needs met at all costs, which means they will deplete the mother of all the minerals, all the resources, all the fuel and nourishment that the baby needs for growth without thinking a second thought as to, oh, mom's going to be depleted, so I shouldn't take that. So we're actually looking at when you yourselves were in that role, but then you also actually did become aware of it and you got shamed, or you felt shamed for actually making mom sick because mom wasn't getting what she needed, and there was this feeling of, I hurt mom. I hurt the person who is meant to nourish me, which means I probably shouldn't receive nourishment or take that in. Excuse me. Apparently, that one's for me too. So, as we look at this, I'm going to call it parasitic behavior, and I don't mean that as harsh or as judgy as it might sound, because it's actually a really natural and healthy thing for babies to do that. And if you didn't do that, you would actually compromise your very existence. And moms actually have a chance to recoup some of those losses on the other side of things and can ideally, shore up any deficiencies by taking in extra nourishment during those time frames. Okay, so we're working with, again, this theme of parasitic behavior. And for all of those avenues, whether you felt like you were the parasite and that opened up the door for you attracting parasitic behaviors in the form of, for example, attracting narcissistic partners or covert narcissistic partners, or feeling like people are taking advantage of you or using you, or people just not supporting you in a way that feels like really fair and reasonable and reciprocatable. Is that a word? It might be for today. Okay. And for that all, we're actually going to run a Seedry. It's going to continue interesting for 16 days, a lot longer than we normally see them run during Buddhas and Butterflies. And that's actually going to take us to the end of the people-pleasing context. So that's interesting. The Seedry starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, our low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, along with endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous system and our immune system alike to heal. Then we're also working with bringing in the balance of yin and yang, feminine and masculine energies, or nourishment and protection. Sometimes we can be too protected to the point where we don't take in nourishment. And sometimes we can be so nourished, we end up almost like indulgent and lazy, and we actually don't have the right balance of protective energy presence. So with this, we're also going to run hydration, helping cells to take in water, joy, and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. Then we're going to follow that up with D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, reconceptualization, reprioritization. Getting out of that rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then, integration and introspection, shifting the underlying consciousness. We can think of this as the release, the surrender, The letting go. Okay, alongside of that, running diaphragm to intestines. And as soon as I said the word diaphragm, I saw like it's parasite day apparently. I saw like a really big parasite intertwined and wrapped around like the entire length of the diaphragm muscle. So we're actually going to unwind the connective tissue enough to free up the breath and free up any preconceived contractions that you thought you had to do around hiding your emotions or representing your emotions not quite accurately, but looking more positive than you may actually really be feeling, or going along to get along, or times in which you're like, eh, close enough, and you decided to compromise your emotional needs. As we work with that, we're then going to work with, through the intestinal tract in this diaphragm to intestines, releasing and unwinding the connective tissue through here as well. So that way, any of those undigested pieces around having to placate one's world around them in order to get their own needs met begins to actually break down and get digested in a way that feels like you don't have to be a parasite in order to latch on, excuse me, and cling on to even people who actually aren't that particularly helpful for you to be overly connected to or clung to in any way, shape, or form. Burping up a storm over here. Apparently, all very accurate for me. So, as we work with releasing parasitic energy in these ways, linking it all into eighth house. The eighth house is working with the regeneration and the capacity to move through this in a way that you actually get to develop a set of skills and strengths to move forward through and into your rest of your life with. And then I just hear a permission statement here. And in my head, I'm seeing Oprah Winfrey like, you get a car, you get a car, everybody gets a car. Except the words are, I don't have to be a parasite, you don't have to be a parasite, no one has to be a parasite in order for this all to work. What if there is a completely different way of doing this? At the same time as all of that, we're also going to work with something a little different than the parasite theme. For some of you, that might be a blessing. We're working with the energy of the freeze and please response. So it's a type of people pleasing that comes up when you are too scared to do anything otherwise. And for many of us, there's the frozen energy of that at play. And that's usually what keeps us stuck in the patterns of people pleasing. And we're looking particularly at where that got formed by taking care of parents. And we're doing the particular paternal line or dad side of the family and looking at age two, in which you thought that you learned from your mom anyways, which you thought that, as you learned from your mom, that you had to act a certain way in order to get the approval of men. Okay. And then we're also looking at all the different ways that you have suppressed or held back that were also learned responses through mom's side of the family lines. And doing an emotional release of anger at the same time. It's coming out of the gallbladder meridian. And we're actually going to move it back through to the heart space because the heart actually knows what to do with sadness. The gallbladder does not. And as we return that sadness back to its rightful place, back into the heart, restoring it through the heart, the pericardium, along with the small intestine and triple heater meridians. So looking at all the different energies that are meant to process sadness and work with it in a good way. And as it returns to the small intestine, I see the restoration of discernment, of intellect, of awareness. As it returns to the triple heater meridian, I see it returning back to its healthy role of finding compassion and synchronicity and integration through all the hormones. Compassion, synchronicity, and integration all the way through all the hormones, the entire body mind. As it returns to the pericardium, with it releasing the belief system of I must shut down to protect myself at all costs. And that's the freeze response. In order to be able to then move forward with getting my needs met from others. Okay, and then as it returns back to the heart itself, I just hear the words, I have the right to pause and rest whenever I need to. I have the right to pause and rest whenever I need to. And that's all linking into house number 10 in astrology, which works with the house of career, achievement, recognition and outward self-expression. Okay, then we're gonna tap this part out here. It's an invitation to breathe and receive. Doing that another round or two of breath, letting that part integrate and settle in. And then for your entire connective tissue, releasing the overwhelm that's at the root of you perpetuating the need to be pleasing to others. And also unhooking that from the base chakra. Your survival no longer depends on making anyone else happy. Your survival no longer depends upon making anyone else happy. You get to survive on your own terms now. And as we do that, we're also releasing a fear of being outcast. And a fear of not belonging. And that's linking now into the navel around the just the sides, which is the energy field that's responsible for our center of belonging and feeling like we have a place here in this world. Sinking into the womb space. And we're looking at the times in which there was a sense of feeling like there was insecurity around your umbilical region, and a sense of feeling like you either had to avoid the pain and suffering that was coming down through the pipes, or the feeling that you had to worry about what was coming down the pipes and you should be really anxious about that. And that all creates a fair amount of disorganization. And as we work with those themes, releasing those holding patterns that are most present for you along those lines, through and around the navel, and in particular on the sides. If you can imagine the navel wearing a bow tie is often my line to work with that energy center of belonging that hangs out there. Now we're unhooking a bundle of belief systems. Now we're going through dad's side of the family lines. 18 generations back on an emotional frequency, no surprise, of actually both sadness and overexcitement. And there was this pattern that would play out that there was a sense of duty, of almost like this, I have to provide excitement. I have to provide like extreme excitement. As we work with that, also looking at the sense of duty to overcome one's own inherent sadness, despair, depression, or sense of hopelessness. And put on the fake mask in order to promote fun and excitement and pleasure and joy. In other words, I have to be fake in order to get what I want. And we're releasing that all the way through dad's side of the family lines. With it, releasing the underlying undercurrents of anger that go with that, along with more so rage than anger. And then we're running lymphatic drainage through all things midline, which is our center of trust. And that's all linking into the heart chakra. That is the center point between the chakras above and the chakras below. It's both, the heart's unique. It's both yin and yang, feminine and masculine. Then doing an emotional release of sadness from the thymus gland that hangs out just above the heart, stores all of our patterns around how it is we've stayed safe, how it is we've protected ourselves. And it's also a key part of our immune system, relating with how it is we either accept or reject ourselves. And as we run lymphatic circulation through here, following it with hydration, helping the cells take in water and dry and release any impurities on the other side, of releasing. And the toxins, the gunk, the waste, the low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And then we're looking at your relationship. I'm still fine-tuning this piece with your original caregivers that you would have associated as being like your mother figure and your father figure. It might have been your biological mom or dad, or it might have been someone else that played those roles, or it might have been someone that actually played both of those roles for you at the same time. And as we work with it, looking at how it is that informed, and it does greatly, excuse me, your relationship to whatever your word for it might be, spirit, creator, God, universe. And then looking at in particular how the people-pleasing elements have played into that. And this idea of if I'm good enough, I'll get rewarded. But I have to be able to prove how good I am in order to get that reward. out of things that I don't like are happening in my life, it means I'm being punished. And all of that takes away the natural inherent curiosity so that we can just simply question and learn and grow from what's happening in our world around us without it meaning something right about us or wrong about us or bad about us or good about us. But looking at how it is we simply get to experience life without all the unnecessary clutter of all the extra meaning that might not actually be as supportive as it once was. And I'm assuming it was there for a very good reason, and it might have been there for a very long time for a really good set of reasons. And to whatever extent those certain layers are ready to go. What if you don't have to be appeasing enough or measure up? What if you're enough just as you are? And we can look at all the other voices of insecurity and doubt that tell us we have to prove or earn or be a certain way in order to get what we want. And related to that, we're going into the third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, working with the, well, buffet, shall I say, of insecurities and doubts, or self-insecurities, self-doubts. And we're running lymphatic drainage through here. Through the pancreas reflex point that takes in the sweetness, the joy of our life, and feels any level of impurities, and also works with the sense of being able to feel like we can be supported by universe, God, creator, spirit, helping us to take in that essence from our very deepest core and our deepest connections and relationships. Beautiful, we're gonna tap this part out here. Okay, breathing, receiving. Okay. And we're heading into reciprocals. We're working with upper spine to lower spine, pairing each individual vertebrae, topmost with bottommost, and linking them in together until they meet in the very midline. And we're also going to link them not just on opposite sides, but also on the same sides. And I just hear the words, I am here. And I see you planted squarely between mom, dad, and again, that essence of God, creator, spirit, universe, pick your word for it. And as you proclaim your very existence, what if that's enough? What if that's actually more than enough? And what if there's actually nothing else you need to do, prove, overcome, forgive, govern, manage in any way other than just simply to be here? And part of that might actually involve a little forgiveness in order to land there. But what if you don't need to be in a perpetual state of apologizing or begging for forgiveness or needing to constantly think that you need to be in a place of granting other people forgiveness for your past perceived hurts and challenges? What if all that emotional brouhaha gets to be laid down into the very earth itself? And as that reaches the earth, it begins to get planted, fertilized, begins to become fertilizer itself as it breaks down, and begins to form again something new or different that gets to grow alive within you from the very core of you. What if you can fan the flames of that growth by means of breathing, breathing right into the soil and seeing what comes together, seeing what forms, what comes alive here? Then as you notice it, taking time to really drink it in and receive it, almost like we did at the very beginning as a resource, and letting yourself really see the fruits, so to speak, of your labor. Or the wings of what's arisen from what was rooted. And that's all linking into house 12, particularly the liver meridian, and working with detoxing. Detoxing, in particular, unhealthy relationship patterns. It's going very broad on purpose. It's not going to capture every single one you've ever had or ever will have, but rather focus on one or two. But those are going to vary from person to person to person. So it's casting the net wide and saying bang on purpose. As that happens, we're going to unwind the connective tissue through the various neck muscles that attach to the back of the skull and help us to orient or help us to face forward. Then we're doing another emotional release of sadness. This time it's hanging out in the thymus gland itself, particularly right in the very center of it, very well protected. And it's carrying with it this energy of self-doubt in the form of who do you think you are, being like literally afraid or cowering to even think about answering that. That's all linking once again into house 12 for release, for surrendering, for allowing, for melting, for making space. And we're tapping this part out here. Again, invitation to breathe and receive however feels right for you. Okay. And we're working with the permissions, and we might have worked with a variation of this in the last couple of weeks, but it's along the lines of you deserve to be taken care of, but it's actually not in reference to anybody else but yourself. As in, like, you deserve to let yourself be taken care of by yourself. The odd thing about people pleasing is we often forget to even think about what it is we need to do for our own self. And as this reorients towards noticing, becoming curious again around your own needs, I literally see the word curiosity bridging both hemispheres, left and right, as to what that might look like, be like, sound like for yourself. And this might be a good little place to, if you're up for it, lovingly assign yourself a piece of homework. Okay. And as we work with that, running a cellular repair. And we're doing it for the midline structures of the brain that are bridging together this curiosity between both hemispheres. I see it bridging both hemispheres in part because it's working with how you can best take care of yourself from the standpoint of nourishment on the feminine side and protection on the masculine side. And as we link the two together into the very midline structures, what if nourishment and protection got to work together to serve each other? And it didn't have to be a competition or a standoff. Okay, beautiful. And it's particularly working with the fancy word, interthalamic nuclei. Isn't that a mouthful? So it's this, there's the thalamus that sits right in the very center of the limbic emotional brain that acts like the sun of the solar system of your brain. It's like the grand central station of your nervous system in many ways. Nothing gets in or out of your entire brain without going through this particular part of your brain. Okay, and the thalamus actually has two sides, a left and a right, much like the left and right hemispheres of the brain. And right in the very center, it's connected by the interthalamic nuclei. And the central connection point is overly burdened with sadness that's actually been so numbed out and forgotten about. It's just taken for granted that that's like a natural steady state of how life is and how we're supposed to exist and how we're supposed to be. So we're actually going to invite in the consciousnesses of, there's three of them, wonder, like childlike wonder, awe, also childlike awe, and magic. Childlike magic might apply here too. Okay. And the way that we can, for a moment, suspend our disbelief and just be entertained through the lens of wonder, awe, and the sheer magic, and one could argue our very existence is magical. This isn't necessarily, like magicians you find in Vegas type of magic, although if that works for you, feel free to use that too. This is more the magic of how life intelligence seems to draw in those certain synchronicities that it does. The magic of creation and being alive in the very first place. How does that even happen? And I know we know from a science point of view what happened scientifically. Yeah, there might be a little mystery there to dance with, to fall in love with, if we let ourselves wonder and find awe and awesomeness alike in the very act of existence itself. That's all linking into the sixth house, house of practical action, house of being in service to ourselves, house of being in service to our health, our body, our mind, our spirits. And we're linking that once again into house 12, this time working with the natural planetary energy of Neptune, and particularly its role in altruism. And altruism, it can be almost like the sneaky hiding mask of people pleasing. So altruism is acting selflessly, but it doesn't necessarily require that you abandon yourself in order to act that way. Yeah, altruism might be like the healthy version, so to speak, on the other side of the coin. From the fawn response, it's the capacity to serve others without necessarily abandoning yourself. At least that's how I'm going to define it in this moment. And then we're working with linking that through to house number 9. Interesting. And working with the planetary energy there, which is that of Jupiter. Jupiter also hangs out in house 12, so it's interesting. And Jupiter is very much about growth, expansion, philosophy, religion, all things right brain. And from here, we're unhooking the delusions of grandeur, thinking that people pleasing is somehow going to get you rewarded or getting you the essence of, let me say that differently. The delusion of grandeur and thinking that people pleasing is as important or as superior as it gets. Like this is some sort of exalted position. And as you release that, also unhooking the energy of being reckless. Jupiter can have a reckless tone to it at times and doesn't always consider the basic mundaneness of the practicalities of life as it's very busy entertaining itself in philosophy, religion, right brain energies. As you release that recklessness, also releasing with it the belief system slash identity of I am a wreck. What if you are responding to the environment in a way that is actually quite normal, quite natural, and would be challenging to do it any other way? And as we work with that understanding, that maybe we're actually not as screwed up as we think we might be. What if our environment itself was just dictating certain possibilities? It's also releasing with it the identity of I am a parasite. And then we're linking that through to all seven chakras, no small thing. And then we also need to even out the pathway between the heart and the crown. It's as if I could draw like a line, it would be like very zigzaggy. That's connecting those upper chakras to each other. We're just sorting out any particular adhesions that are keeping the chakras in this interesting sort of squiggled, that's a technical word, squiggled out position, meaning they're just out of alignment in a very zigzaggy type of a fashion. So as these chakras begin to realign, running the permissions here that you have every right to hold your head high. You have every right to hold your head high. And then we're tapping this all out here. So again, invitation to breathe and receive. As you take this next breath in, see if you can exaggerate it just a little bit more. Fully inhaling, fully inhaling, fully inhaling, fully inhaling, even more. And then exhale. Let it all go. I'm going to invite you to do that one more time, but this time as you inhale, lift your shoulders up with it. Lift up, lift up, lift up, lift up. Even higher, even more. Inhale, even more. See if you can hold it in, holding up your shoulders as high as they can go. And when you feel like you can't hold up the shoulders or the breath in anymore, let it all go. And feel free to give it one or two more rounds of that if that feels supportive for you. And as you do so, hearing these words, this is no longer my burden to bear. This is no longer my burden to bear. This is no longer my burden to bear. I set this down. I set this down. And giving that a nice, slow, deep breath. Relink the shoulders to the hips. And as we release all that extra energy from the shoulders, the hips become a little bit more open, a little bit more sturdy, a little bit more strong in their capacity to form a new foundation that doesn't involve the burden of having to please in order to get what you need. And then we're going into the womb space. And we're looking at now week six of development. In week six, we're actually looking not so much at the anatomical development This is honestly not anything I've overly considered a whole lot before, which is amazing to me that I've actually not considered it a whole lot before. Just having a moment here. We're actually looking at the emotional development, and many people believe that there isn't even necessarily like a strong ego formation happening here. However, there's just sort of like tones and imprints that are beginning to mold what will potentially develop into the ego formation. And as we go through with body talk, it has me questioning that just a little bit. And I'm always happy to challenge the status quo if you haven't been paying attention to that over the last while. I like to take things, new approaches to things where others may not have considered it before. And we're actually looking at the emotional development that was imprinting based on how mom and dad were emotionally responding to their experiences, their events, their life circumstances at week six, which is often right around the time frame when people are just beginning to either suspect that they're pregnant or that they find out that they're with child. Okay, and in my experience, all of the sort of amniotic fluid and patterns that get held there, and this is where this one is held as well, often tend to continue on through the CSF, through the cerebrospinal fluid. And we're just releasing that particular piece, meaning you don't need to be beholden to how mom and dad were handling their lives. They might not have had the same opportunities to explore and develop their emotional intelligence as you've had. And now you get to do it in a different way. If that feels true for you, feel free to give that a few breaths with like the open mouth breath that we use in breath work. You can imagine breathing right into the fluid that bathes your brain, and your spinal cord, spinal column alike. And as you breathe into all that's circulating, all that's flowing here, releasing anger and repatterning your entire emotional response system because you get to do it different now, because you have the opportunity to develop into what they were too limited and weren't able to dive into any further than what they did in their lifetimes. And that may still be underway. They might actually still be continuing to explore that, or they might not be at all. And regardless, you get to do it in a way that's going to serve your needs, not theirs. You get to do it in a way that pleases you, not them. And you get to do it in ways that include yourself, without having to worry about them first. Okay. And then we're gonna rinse and repeat that all one more time, this time for week five of development in the utero space. And with this, we're releasing the feeling of quote unquote being a pain in somebody's butt, being a pain in somebody's ass. And any perceived insecurities that have come from that, or any tendencies to doubt yourself for being a pain in the ass, like a tendency to apologize for yourself before you even express your need. Like, I'm really sorry about this, but here's what I need. And I don't really want to inconvenience you, but here's what's happening for me right now. I really don't want to have this challenging conversation with you, and I'm so sorry that we're doing this. And here it is. So without the need to apologize or defend yourself in any way, shape, or form, and releasing the pain in the ass consciousness, as I'll refer to it, and with it also releasing the expectation of criticism and the expectation of attack for having your needs exist in the first place, or for doing things in ways that are different than how your parents may have done it. Or again, I should say, instead of parents, mother figure, father figure. And as we work with that, going into the diaphragm, actually all four diaphragms, the regular breathing one, the base of the pelvis, the crown of the head, and the base of the throats. In particular, it's the one at the base of the throats. And here we're releasing depression from the various diaphragms, along with the lymph nodes alike. And as we breathe, the lymph is meant to move through the lymph nodes. Again, releasing toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And then we're bringing circulation of all those healing resources that I mentioned earlier with that Sidri for the spleen, for the spleen meridian that governs the lymph nodes, and helps things to rise and come alive again in ways that we weren't always given permission to. And what happens now if you actually don't need anyone's permission? You get to just simply rise and stand tall within yourself because you get to. You don't have to, but you get to if you want to. And we're going to tap this all in here. Invitation to breathe, to receive, to drink this in, and feel free to touch into that resource if that feels right for you to do so. Give in that another round of breath or two, and imagine you can breathe them right into your cerebrospinal fluid. And I have a short song, it's 2 minutes long. I invite you to continue to breathe and receive. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you so much for being here as you are. Thank you for your very sweet existence, my friends. Mwah. My love to you all. Wishing you blessings in the rest of your day and week ahead. Have yourselves a curious exploration time. I'm gonna stop the recording here. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace. Peace. Peace.